All right. Well, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the door of humility and how, you know, there's a way to access the things of God. Like there's ways of access. So it's not like you're trying to earn it. It's just there's a way to approach, you know, almost like a protocol. They call them protocol. Sometimes people like that word. There's a protocol of heavenly things. And some of those protocols include things like honor. You know, you honor each other. You respect each other. And you honor, like when you meet a person, you honor them in the Lord. Does that make sense? So like if you might, like let's say you meet a person and they have a quote reputation of being A, B, C, D, E. Well, when you come up to them, you don't engage them from that place. You engage them in the Lord. In other words, what does Jesus see? And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago with Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus kind of had a reputation. Jesus completely did not regard that reputation at all. He treated him like a long-lost brother or a son, which is who he is. So there, that's a particular protocol of the things of the Spirit, is to encounter and interact with people from that place of honor. In other words, God honors them. God loves them. They may not recognize it. And some people to different degrees don't recognize it. Some of them are nasty. They're lost. They don't understand. That nastiness is coming on them because they have lost the narrative. They lost who they are. They don't know who they are. So they've decided that their way of dealing with the world is cruel, you know, because they don't know the Father. They haven't seen him yet. Because once you see the Father, that cruelty goes away. Once you see the Father, that impatience goes away. That pride goes away. Because once you see him, and you see him through the Son, you see the Father through the Son. That is the protocol. You go, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me, right? So when you see Christ, who is a person, when you see him as he is, that gives you that access or that view of who the Father is. And then you begin to see his love. So these are, you know, encounters that we're having as more of an encounter rather than some new teaching. Our encounters teach us. Okay? So when we have one, we're now being taught something new. And what is that encounter? That encounter is teaching us who the Father is. And in seeing the Father, we see who we are. Okay? So I just wanted to just discuss some of these protocols. These are what I call access points or gates or protocols of heavenly things. This is how you do it. You know, in every business, you may have certain kind of protocols you go through, okay? You know, like if you're doing real estate, this is the protocol of real estate. You usually start with this and you sign this contract, you do this. They have, and why do they have a protocol? Because it's the same thing every time, so they have a way of doing it. So men make systems. And why do they make systems? Well, because there's a process to things, right? But there's a heavenly process. And it's not religious. It's not a religious system, because religion has their own processes you have to go through, which have nothing to do with heavenly processes. So the heavenly processes, first of all, honor. We honor each other because we see the Father. When you see the Father, the love of the Father is now becoming activated within you. And when that love is activated, now you begin to see people as the Father sees them instead of out of your own lower realm, because your physical eyes, your mind can only comprehend so much, but the Father sees everything. Because we talked about that too. Everything is naked and open before him. There is nothing hidden from God. Nothing. He sees absolutely everything in a detail that would be absolutely mind-boggling to us. He sees it down to the very atom, every single thing because it's all in him. So because of that, and then what does he do? He sheds his love. He gives forth his love, right, towards all the things he created. Because in seeing him, we see the love of the Father. And in seeing the love of the Father, that love of the Father, we begin to recognize that love is in us. It's not something we're going to get. It's something that he's put in us. And in seeing the Father, that love activates, and then it is, like we use the word, nurtured. The first step of a nurture is to recognize. If you're going to nurture a thing, you have to recognize it first. So becoming aware of the love of the Father in us is the first step in nurturing that love. Then as that love is nurtured, it grows. And how is it nurtured? How is love nurtured? By operating in it. Number one, recognizing it. And number two, operating in that love. So as that love is nurtured, it begins to grow. Okay, this is a protocol. This is not the protocol I was going to talk about today, though. So I wanted to say, first of all, because this is the one that we've talked about many times. We talk about the love of the Father when we're speaking to someone, when we see someone. Because, you know, when you see someone, you see them in your mind's eye first. Right? Because you see them in your mind's eye. Like if I give you a name of a person you know, you're going to see the image of them, right? They're not here, but they are in your mind's eye. So what happens if I take that thought of the mind's eye, I put them in my mind and I see them, but now instead of seeing them from the lower realm, I see them wrapped in the love of the Father, being held close to his heart, and the release of love going towards that person, you know? That's how you do it, okay? So it always starts in, I'll say the mind's eye because that's the first thing that came to me. The mind's eye is the first thing, or in your heart. And then you hold that person in your heart, release the love of the Father towards that person. You know, when I do that, I actually do that. When you release the love of the Father towards that person, now what you're doing is you're flowing in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of grace. And the Spirit of grace has been poured out all upon the earth. So when we recognize the Father, we cooperate with the Spirit of grace. And now we're moving with and in the Spirit to release love, the love of the Father, not ours, but as a gateway or an activation point on the earth to manifest God's love in the creation. That's what we do. So now you do it. And then you begin to recognize it in other people, and you begin to see it happening in other places to certain degrees. So what we want to do is number one, recognize it, then nurture it. Nurture it by doing it. So no matter how frustrated we are, no matter how irritated we are with a person, instead we decide to release love, okay? Just by intention. I'm releasing the love of God that is in me that I recognize by faith. We say by faith. Why? Because we may not have a physical evidence of anything. No physical evidence whatsoever of anything happening, but you know within your heart that there's something there. And what is there? God. He's in them. They don't know it. So I release the love of the Father in this situation, over this particular area, even though I may know, because God may show me, deception is there. Unclean things are there, all sorts of nasty little lower realm things. But what do I decide as a son to release love into that area, right? Now, if God gives you other information about a situation, you go on that information. But I'm giving you a default position, okay? So if you have another word from God about a situation you're in, well, then you go with that word. But your default position, if you don't have anything specific, is to operate out of the love of the Father. That's how it works every time, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, if he says, hey, this is dangerous, go away, do that, you know what I'm saying? Then you know, right? But if you don't know any of that, you say, you know what, I'm going to go to my default position, which is the protocol of heaven, which is honor and operating out of the love of God, because I know who that person is. That person isn't like me. They don't think like me. They don't act like me. And that's exactly right. They shouldn't, because God made them them. If he made them me, then they would be me, and they're not me, they're them. So this is the thing. That, and so for each person in each situation we come across, there's going to be that aspect of it, that aspect of grace, that aspect. Because some things that people call like, okay, this is not, I'm just shading it. This is not the right way to do it. You know, this is not the right way to do it. We have a way that we do it, and they're doing it the wrong way. Right. And so now you have all these divisions. Well, we do three songs and we do this. Oh, no. Well, you're not evangelizing. I don't even know if that's a church. Well, you're not even, you don't have a piano in your church. I don't know what that, you know, these are all divisions that we make in our minds when we're trying to define relationship. Why are we defining relationship? Why don't we let God define relationship? So this is how you get back to protocols. What is it that Jesus showed us the protocol was? This is the reason why the scriptures are eternal and timeless. They're not talking about temporary man-made protocols. These are heavenly protocols. And the more that we engage in the heavenly realms, the more we realize that this is the truth. If you ever have encounters in heaven, you'll recognize that people, this is how you act. You recognize each other. Maybe somebody's not there yet. We love them, right? As they're growing, they're going to get there. Everyone gets there. You know why? Because it's who you are. It's your nature.
It's your default.
It's your default. Your default is love, and your default is a perfect reflection of Christ. A perfect reflection. And as we behold him, as the scripture says, we become more like him. Well, as we're becoming more like Christ, we're becoming more like our Father. Because he is the door. He is the gate through which we see everything. So we try in our mind to go see and look, and I say, well, go through the door, right? Yeah. And a lot of times people will try to define God and define things, but he's undefinable. He's eternal. We don't define God. He defines us. You see how that works? So these are the protocols of heaven. These are the doors, the gates that we go through. And then the one I was going to talk about today is called the gate of humility. Okay? Now, this is one that people don't like to talk about. Well, why is that? Well, because it means that you are going low in your heart. You're going humble. You're lowly, right? But this is one of the most important gates that you can have. This is one of the most important gates that you can have is to go low. Okay? And why is that? Oh, because if you're not low, God's going to do something bad to you. No, no, no. It's because it's a gate. It's a door. God's not looking to do anything bad to anyone. He doesn't have any bad to give you. The problem is that if we position ourselves in a place where we're resisting the goodness of God, then it can't get to us because we resisted it. Right? And he's gonna take that as our attempt to not want to receive. And so humility is us saying, yes, I'll take it, Lord. What is it you want to give me? You see what I'm saying? That's the default position of receiving from God is humility. God didn't give us scriptures about receiving so that we could learn the technique to get God to do what we want. That's manipulation. It really is. And as much as I love, you know, the teachings that we've had, we have to be very careful that we don't take a teaching of faith on how to receive from God and take it as a way that we're manipulating God to give us something. You don't manipulate God to give you anything. He gave you the entire universe. What more are you going to want from him? Oh, but he doesn't want it. Who are we working on? God? Or are we allowing God to work on us? So it's really more of a reception thing, receiving from God. So if you want to read those scriptures again, look at it in this way. How do I better position myself to receive the vast goodness that God is literally pouring out like a waterfall in my life? And how do I position myself to stand underneath that waterfall, right? So that I can receive the goodness that he is not withholding from me. That's a better way of thinking about those scriptures, such as how to receive from God. We're really in a receptive part, not in a get God to do what I want kind of thing. That's manipulation. God can't be manipulated. It's impossible to manipulate God. You know, and first of all, that's not nice. And the second thing is, you know what else it isn't? It's not humble. So as we position ourselves, first of all, again, the first door, gateway of first love, receiving from Jesus, walking through Christ into the Father's love, and then being a gateway or a channel or a, like Jesus said, rivers of living water coming in and out of your innermost being. That's where the love of the Father actually is centered on and lives from. So, but that part goes in low. And Jesus was low. And he says, learn of me, I am low. I am low. What does that mean? That means I am meek, you know, I am humble in my heart, you know, and so even to the point of this, that humility, so where he was, you know, first of all, the Son of God, who is God, right, comes into a physicality, because we had a hard time, which he knew was going to happen, recognizing what we are, unless there was something physical that we could see. Okay. And the apostle said, we have seen him. We have touched him with our hands. He's real. He wasn't a specter. He isn't a ghost. He's physical, flesh and blood, just like you and me, but it's God in flesh. How low do you have to go to be God in flesh? That, first of all, was the first step. He humbled himself and he became a man. Second, he didn't stop there. He not only humbled himself as a man, because Jesus said, nobody can take my life. No one can. It's impossible to kill Jesus. Totally impossible. You try to kill him, it would never work. If his head was chopped off, he'd pick up his head and put it right back on his body. It's just impossible to kill Jesus, right? And again, we are like him, and we are being transfigured into that self-same image. It will be, in the future, impossible to kill any son of God. It's impossible. But we're working and growing and maturing into that place. But Jesus became obedient to death. That's the lowest level right there. The enemy of mankind is death. That wasn't God's enemy. God's enemy is not death. God doesn't have an enemy, right? Who's going to be an enemy of God, right? People think they're God's enemy, and the Bible does talk about that. But there's not really, I mean, who could possibly be an enemy of God? But he became obedient to death, which is our enemy. And he humbled himself, the Bible said, to death. He humbled himself. He went really, really, really low. So for God, that's being humble, right? For us, it's not humble. If we could like overcome death on our own effort, we would do that, you know, and then be like, look at me, I'm immortal, you know, look what I did, right? Because that's all man, right? But Jesus became obedient to death, and not just any death, not just dying of old age, because he could have done that. Not even dying of super old age, because he could have done that. Could have lived 1,000 years like Adam. He could have done any of these things, but he became obedient to the death of a cross, which is the penalty of a criminal. It's the worst. You know, the word crucifixion was like the F word in ancient times. Really? They didn't say that word out loud. It was very nasty. And these guys, these emperors, did some pretty bad stuff, and crucifixion was the worst of the worst. So when Jesus was hung on a cross at that time, you know, and I don't even know if they had a more perfect example of a bad way to die than they did then. And I think God put that together that way on purpose so that we would know the degree of love which he gave himself to us through Christ. But he became obedient to that kind of death, which is a different kind of death. So not only did he become obedient to death, this is low. This is humility to him. That's what that represents. That's humility. He became low for one reason. It's to show us something. It's to show us who we are. It's to show us that that old man, the man that saw himself separated from God, the man that lived a life of self, lived a life of the flesh, of the lower realm, that man has died. And now, being hidden and buried with him, once and for all, he doesn't come back up. You don't re-kill the old man. That old man died once and for all. There's not a daily thing, I have to go pick up my dead man and kill him again. No. He's buried in death in Christ. So that's that humility level that Christ went through. So to speak of humility as a gate and a door, that doesn't mean we become obedient to death in that way. We become obedient to Christ. You see how it works? So he became obedient to the Father, right? And in doing so, he humbled himself, right? And there was a reason he humbled himself, and there's a reason he became obedient to death. And the Bible very clearly states what that reason is. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So it is an actual foreknowledge and foreshadowing and foreseeing, because he knew that it would bring all the sons back into the family again. And that's the best, because God doesn't do things alone. He does things in family. He does things with each other, you know, and we do have times where we're alone with God. That's good. And then there's times that we do things together. And in that times together, we're doing things with him. Because even when we're doing things, we say we're doing things alone with God. Well, you do realize that you have an angelic canopy around you. You have the cloud of witnesses around you. And you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the Trinity, right? Because that comes together, you know. He is one, but in three, right? So we have that perichoresis, you know, is what the word is. You know, that divine dance that we have in the Spirit with him. And there is no end to that. That's an eternal dance. That's an eternal place that we're in him. So this humility that Jesus had is a deep humility. And sometimes people are afraid of that. They think, oh man, God's going to humble me and then I'm going to have nothing. That's not what it's about. Humility is something that you do as in your heart position. It's a heart position. People are always looking for your works. Oh, they did this and they did that. Oh, look at me. I'm so humble. Well, that's kind of the opposite. Bragging about being humble is kind of the opposite of humble. True humility comes from the Father. True humility comes from the Son and the Spirit. If you operate in that gate of humility, it's because you received it from him. You are imitating. You are acting like your dad and not even realizing it. Because you're low. You don't need to self-promote. You've been promoted by him. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. In Colossians, it says that. Colossians 3. Seek those things which are above, where you have been brought in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. This is where we've been brought. Seek those things. In other words, as we are contemplating the things of God and contemplating who we are, contemplate this. You've been seated with him in heavenly places. Contemplate this. Be shepherded from above. Be shepherded from above. The good shepherd shepherds us from above. Don't be shepherded from beneath. What happens if you're shepherded from beneath? What's it talk about in Colossians? It says, put away lust and greed and covetousness and anger and wrath. Isn't that how they're shepherded from beneath? You look at them, even on the shows. Oh, I'm getting so angry. Now I'm going to beat up everybody. You know, now I win. Rage, anger, revenge, vengeance. You know, all of these things. And they're shepherded by those things. And you could be if you didn't become aware of who you are actually shepherded by. So Jesus knows ways. He knows things that you don't know. He's a good shepherd. You're just the sheep. You don't see what he sees. So let him shepherd you. Don't be shepherded by greed. Don't be shepherded. You know, another one is ambition, selfish ambition. Oh my goodness gracious. When you get to certain levels, the selfish ambition is through the roof. And you're like, my goodness, dude, you need to take it easy. And one person's looking at this and that. Don't be shepherded by those things. Don't be shepherded by those things. Oh, yeah, but, you know, I had to pull myself up. You know, this is what Keith Moore always says. I had to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Yeah, bootstraps. You know, and get up. And, you know, and he talks about how that's not how that works. That's not how that works, people. You know, Jesus is the one that brings us to the places we need to go. He brings us before the people that we need to be before. He shepherds us from above because what he's doing is not trying to get us to be, you know, how to be rich and famous on the earth. Here, let me show you how to be rich and famous on the earth. He's got that. That doesn't mean anything. You could be rich or famous. Well, why are you rich and famous? Well, maybe that's part of your plan. Maybe that's part of your book. You know, maybe part of what you do means you have to be rich and famous, but it's just a thing. It's just material. Don't go crazy about that. Not everybody needs that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe somebody's rich and famous and they got their own baggage to deal with. If you watch some of these shows on TV lately, Nickelodeon and all that, dear Lord, you know, you don't want to be rich and famous. That's a dangerous snake pit there, you know. But some people, they you know, want to be rich and famous. They want to get on American Idol. They want to do this and that. Well, maybe you do have a gift from God, but give it to God. Let God take that thing and explode it for you in your life so that it brings the joy. You don't want temporary things. You want the joy, just like Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What's the joy look like? Come on. It's the joy that you want. You don't want this. That other stuff is temporary. Oh, I got a new car. Great. Well, now, guess what? Next year, it's not a new car. It's an old car. Well, That joy didn't last very long, did it? Why? Because it was based on temporary things.
We want to throw in the no parting.
Right. Exactly. We don't want to, we don't, because see, there's a process of nurturing that God is doing with us, and he's nurturing us as sons. He's nurturing us as sons. This is an important thing to understand. And sons means daughters, of course, male and female sons. He's nurturing us as sons. He's not nurturing us as employees. He's not nurturing us as slaves. He's not nurturing us in other ways. Once we recognize, like Jesus, that we are sons and that God is nurturing us, the Father is nurturing us as sons, then things start to make sense. Because we've been given an inheritance, a kingdom, the Bible says, that doesn't pass away. It doesn't pass away. We have a lot of teaching about a kingdom that does pass away. Well, that's not the kingdom you've been given. The kingdom you've been given is in the heavens. It's an eternal kingdom, and it's part of your inheritance. So as we're being nurtured as sons, we're being taught what that means, what this kingdom is like, and how we operate, you know, protocols of that kingdom. And so there are, and you know what, words are words, right? I might use protocol. Some may have a problem with that. I don't really care. It's a protocol. It's a way of accessing. System. It's a way of accessing a heavenly realm. It's a heavenly system. So the heavenly systems have the go low, and it has the reception of the Father's love. Okay, so those are the two, you know, it was going to be the one point, but I kind of, you can't really do the one without the other. So we have kind of two protocols, the love of the Father being reflected in the Son, being reflected in us, and then the attitude of the heart, the position of the heart is to go low. Allow the Spirit to bring you to the places that you go as you go low, which is to be humble, to be meek. You're not out there to get everybody. You're not out there to clobber everyone and to be full of rage and or to be full of greed and anger and malice and, well, they did this to me, you know, I'm getting them, you know. And we see this exemplified in the news. You see this exemplified in Hollywood. These are the lower realm shepherds, like we like to say. Even churches can do this. I'm competing with that church. That church is competing with this church. And I bring this up because this is kind of my field, you know, of work. But people do these kind of things. Well, they left that church because they wanted to do this. And that person said that. And then they have all this kind of church as a business thing where people are beginning to go, well, we don't like this church business. We're going to that church business. But what is it that the Father's speaking to all of us? How do we get shepherded from above instead of beneath? So this is where some very interesting things start to happen. And if you're quiet and you contemplate on the Lord and you're going low, he will show you some things that are very, very interesting that are going on all around you in the realm of the Spirit that God is doing. And you say, I want to be a part of that. And he'll start to open that up for you and you'll start to see it. But you have to reject being shepherded from below so you can be shepherded from above in order to get access to this wonderful kingdom that has been given to us through Jesus. And through our, you know, and the Bible says to die to yourself. What does that mean, die to yourself? It means you're no longer motivated by self. In other words, I can enjoy the things that God gave me. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy anything, but I enjoy it in him. Not out of my own selfish desires, my own lust for more, greed for more, whatever it is. I can take just the pureness and the holiness of God and sit in that as my place of rest and realize that I really don't need anything but him, because everything good comes from him anyway. He's the source of all things. Everything comes from God, everything. So why be shepherded from beneath? Be shepherded from above. So be humble, be low, allow that to be your, and remember, one last little point here before I close up. This is about him. It's not our effort. We didn't decide to sign up for this school. We just were put in. Now the question is the more that we humble ourselves to this teaching, which is the teaching of the Lord, not my teaching, trust me. It's the teaching of the Lord. The more that we say in our own heart, Lord, teach me, continue, nurture that which is in me. The more we do that, and as we go low, the more that it will happen. The more that we're proud, oh, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other thing, that is a resistor. So you didn't make God mad at you. It's not like God's going to do something bad now that you resisted him. You actually resisted the waterfall of love. So now you're standing outside of it. Don't stand outside of it by trying your own efforts, your own things. Come under the hand of God. Come under his weighty glory, you know, which is how it works. You know, so anyway, so it's something to think about.
Thank you.
Little something for today. And today is Palm Sunday, so happy Palm Sunday to everyone.
Palm Sunday.
All right.